Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everybody. Hello, you people. Welcome to the program. I am Pat McNeil, columnist for the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and website, and one half of your PW Torch livecast top guys. Let's say hello right now to my co-host, PW Torch columnist Greg Parks. Greg, are you there? Hold on a moment. There we go. That should do it.
There I go. Oh, I'm here, Pat.
Yes. Okay, excellent. Let's see. Yeah, I had a big opening plan to start the show when the thing's processing, so hold on a second. There we go. Yes, kids, this is Wrestling Night in America. We have a lot to go over in the next 90 minutes or so. Our phone number, 515-605-9345. The email address is pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Our chat room is open here at PW Torch Livecast. And, of course, you can send Twitter questions to either Real Pat McNeil or Greg M. Parks. Those are the addresses for that. So later tonight we will be checking in. Our correspondent, Troy Cummings, is live from the NEW Wrestling Under the Stars show. And we will hear more, I'm sure, about what happened tonight, Cody Rhodes versus Rey Mysterio, Greg.
Yeah, that's an interesting match, obviously, and a big draw, I think, for that particular show that always seems to do well. One of the biggest independent show cards as far as attendance of the year, I believe.
Yes, we also have something that I didn't even think of mentioning in the intro that I think a lot of people have on their minds. Asuka yields the NXT women's title to have surgery. And we're told that when she comes back to the main roster and bypasses NXT. This is Asuka's Triple H's big star. He's admitted as much. This definitely changes the direction that NXT is going in.
Absolutely, and it's going to give a fresh start to the NXT women's division, which has been under the thumb of Asuka for so long. And, you know, for a long time, even Asuka's major takeover matches, as good as they were, to a lot of fans, they never felt like she was really in jeopardy. I felt like, gauging the crowd reaction at the latest takeover, that was the first time that a collective crowd really felt Asuka was in danger of losing her title. That feeling just hadn't been there before. So with Asuka apparently out of the picture for good in NXT, that's really going to open some things up for, you know, the iconic duo of Billie Kay and Peyton Royce, certainly Ember Moon. It always felt like with Asuka there was a certain ceiling that a lot of the other women couldn't get by. And now with Asuka gone, it's going to be interesting to see where the other women on the roster slot. And certainly we'll be seeing some women from the Mae Young Classic eventually get signed. So when they get signed and when they start debuting on NXT television, there's going to be even more women that NXT is going to have to make time for. So it's going to be really interesting over the next 6 months to see what women show up on NXT TV and when they do, where they're slotted.
Right. Let's see. Number here is 515-605-9345. Let's see here. Oh, geez. Yeah. The house rules for Sunday nights here on the live cast are very simple. You can ask up to three questions, you can make up to three comments, you can combine the two in some way, but at the end of the day,
that's a magic number.
And of course, this is a PG broadcast, soccer mom friendly by orders of management, so
While we're waiting for our next caller, we'd like to remind you folks calling in to, keep your questions within the boundaries of good taste.
With all those reminders, let's go to the 615 area code to kick things off. 615, please state your name and town. You are on Wrestling Night in America. Hello.
Hey, Pat and Grant, this is Kenny from Gallatin, Tennessee, VIP member. Glad to see you guys are doing okay. I got a couple of interesting topics, both from last week. First one I want to talk about, and as you probably know, you watched SummerSlam. I watched SummerSlam, and of course I watched, you know, the thing that really stole the show, good, bad, or otherwise, was really the beach ball segment. And of course, within 48 hours, WWE pretty much banned any pool toy or beach balls from being in the arena. And I want to get your guys' comment on that, whether or not you think that may be a good thing or not, because I've been having a little discussion with a friend of mine. He actually thinks it was good to have him there. And a part of me was thinking, well, no, it isn't, because I always look at pro wrestling, you know, as simulated sport. You know, it's like, you imagine if somebody went to like a movie house or, you know, a Broadway musical and just threw beach balls around to distract the event itself. I mean, my opinion is,
yeah,
you know,
that wouldn't last very long.
That. No,
yeah,
Anyway,
you know what else we don't
see,
yeah. And Greg, you know what else we don't see at movie theaters, Broadway musicals? The wave. We don't see people doing the wave there.
But you do see that at sporting events too, which, if we're comparing WWE to sports,
yeah,
kind of similar there.
Hmm. Yeah.
For me, guys, I'm really of two minds about this, because ultimately, I think you do everything you can, stopping short of saying that the fans can't do this, because once you purchase that ticket, and once WWE has your money, short of doing something that will get you kicked out of the building, like running into the ring or something like that, you should be free to express your opinion however you want to. Boo the baby faces, cheer the heels. If you want to do the wave, I guess, do the wave. You know, that's your right as a ticket buyer to do. However, I also think that it's incredibly rude, and it is a slap in the face to the people who are performing in the ring. I think if you if you want to make the argument that fans are doing that to thumb their nose at WWE's booking of those wrestlers or whatever, I think there's a better way to make that example, because it comes across as insulting to the wrestlers in the ring, whether or not that's the crowd's intention. So I can't sit here and say that the fans can't do that kind of stuff. I would say they shouldn't. But ultimately, it's their decision. It's their ticket. It's their money that they spent, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, I remember back 20 years ago when WWE was struggling against WCW in the ratings, and Vince McMahon's argument was, well, we'll always allow you to express yourselves. We'll never silence you. I mean, in one way, it is freedom of expression, but the other way, if you're throwing a beach ball up there, you know, you can't be surprised when security comes and takes it and pops it, or if you're really lucky, a wrestler comes and does it. So there's better ways to do that. This is not I don't remember a lot of beach balls going. I don't even remember a lot of beach balls during the Attitude Era.
Can we blame the post WrestleMania Raw crowds for this kind of reaction that we're seeing at some of the major events? I remember maybe 4 or 5 years ago now, I wrote a blog post on PWTorch.com. A lot of people were celebrating that post WrestleMania Raw crowd. It was really one of the first that we took notice of that had that unique reaction, had these kind of different chants and different reactions and all that kind of stuff. And everybody thought that was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I kind of sat back and I said, it was fun, but what kind of message is that sending? And what happens when other crowds start to piggyback off of that? And I got a lot of negative feedback about that, which I expected, going against the grain as I was doing. And I think, you know, with WWE celebrating those kinds of crowds, the chickens are coming home to roost in certain aspects, with WWE encouraging that and things of that nature. And, you know, we're seeing that crowds are feeling more free to express themselves positively or negatively toward the product. And now we have a lot of fans who are sitting back watching the product who are saying, hey, this is detrimental to either my enjoyment of the show, or it's detrimental to the wrestlers who are in the ring. It's a slap in their face. So I think to the fans who are watching at home, their reaction has been scaled back a bit. It's not, let's have fun and do whatever we want. It's let's go to a certain point, but let's not cross that line into where the live audience's reaction is insulting to the guys who are in the ring.
The guys who you, in theory, are there to see. That would be fine. I'm surprised they didn't just go ahead, say nothing, and just tell security in the future, you see a beach ball, grab it, puncture it, you know, destroy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that seems like an easy line to cross.
I think I read somewhere that beach balls are now on WWE's banned list of things they're not even allowing into the arena, which, you know, I don't know how they would necessarily check for it if you're bringing a beach ball that hasn't been blown up.
Well, you know what? It's kind of hard to blow up a beach ball while you're sitting in the stands at a wrestling show on the down low, okay?
Yeah, without security seeing you, yes.
Yeah, that's I'm not too worried about that. Any more thoughts on the subject, Mr. Kenny?
Yeah, actually I do, and it doesn't necessarily have to do with beach balls, but as far as anything that, as far as annoyance for me that I can recollect as far as my experience going to a wrestling show, it was actually about 12 years ago. I went to an NWA anniversary show, and there was sitting right next behind us this little kid. All he would do is kept shouting, "Mr. Kennedy, Kennedy." This was just after Ken Anderson first broke into the WWE.
Right.
And, you know, the kid just kept saying it over and over again for like almost like an hour long straight going through the matches. And it was such a distraction for me. You know, I mean, I didn't want to say anything rude to him. I mean, I just let it go, but it was just like, little things like that just kind of would set you off, you know, to really make you not want to enjoy a wrestling match.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand completely. Yeah, that's that's unfortunately, you know, that's part of the deal. You're going to get annoying people in crowds at wrestling shows. You're going to get annoying people in crowds at most any sporting event or concert. Just gotta, yeah. Unless they're doing something which would get them thrown out of the arena, you're kind of stuck there. Greg?
Yeah, there's really not much you can do about that. I mean, especially when it's a little kid, if their parent isn't telling him to, you know, keep it down or at least cheer for someone who's on the card or something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's really not much you can do about a single person. I think it's, you know, it's much more hurtful to the product and to the masses when it's the majority or a vocal minority of the crowd that's doing something.
Yeah. Okay, anything else, Kenny?
Yeah, just one quick thing. I was watching a YouTube video where Jim Cornette, and you know, on his show that he normally does, his podcast show, and he was talking about a spot, you know, it was like an indie elbow botch spot that turned into a GIF, and this was actually based in, of all
I've
places.
I've seen it, yes.
Oh, you have seen it. I was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
You mean other than what an idiot, and he's lucky he's not dead?
Yeah, pretty much. I felt the same way.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what Cornette said, but I can guess. You're working these shows, and if you're working for Ian Rotten, you're probably not making a lot of money on that show. And really, it's not worth killing yourself. And you know, if you don't know how to throw yourself off a balcony and do an elbow through a table, you know, the time when you don't pull that out for the first time in front of a live crowd.
I've never seen someone miss that badly. I mean, he didn't even hit.
That's
Yeah, usually a guy won't hit it flush, but he'll hit the edge of the table enough to like save the move. But this wasn't even close.
Yeah, I think Vic Grimes had a better fall than that guy did. That's GIF worthy. Did they still have America's Funniest Home Videos or still do that?
Yes, they still do.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe he can salvage something from the situation.
Well,
it'll look a lot better when it has the America's Funniest Home Videos, like the sound effect for when he hits the floor. It won't be that. Something more than a thud.
Well, there you go. Somebody can just put that music underneath it, and it'll probably be probably work out. All right, Kenny. Thanks for checking in with us.
All right, guys. I really do appreciate it, and I hope you guys have a good rest of the night.
Well, we're going to try. Thanks a lot. That's Kenny from Gallatin, Tennessee, 515-605-9345. Let's see if this is who I think it is. Anonymous is going to check in with us. Anonymous, you are on the Wrestling Night in America with Pat and Greg. Hello.
Hi, this is Craig from Toledo.
Oh, gee. Hey, Hey, Greg, it's Craig from Toledo.
Fantastic.
Well, Craig, we'll probably continue your call after the break. But what's on your mind this evening?
I'm getting a feeling that I'm not the guy who you expected to hear from.
Expected might be the wrong word, but anyway, carry on.
Can I just give you a chance to plug? Because before my three things, your SummerSlam 91 thing from the VIP. It was
the way back playback.
Live. Yes.
Oh, is that up yet?
Yeah, it just went up, and it went up like about an hour ago or an hour or two, and I'm really looking forward to here.
Okay, well, thank you. Jim and I put some hard work into that. Okay, what else?
Just really quick, I'll be quick. Number one, I was at Raw in Brooklyn, and I left. I can't stand the mob mentality. I left it. Yeah, right during the middle of the main event. Miz cut a promo in the middle of the match, and apparently it wasn't on TV. I haven't watched back on, like, the TV part.
So he did it during the commercial break?
Yeah, and Wade talked to the guy on Monday night, and he told him about it. But I thought it was a lot more like he was, like, ripping the crowd for the beach ball. And I was like, whoa, this is cool. But then it went back, and then they started doing a wave, and it was crazy. It was like mob mentality. I just was like, out of there. And I was like really upset because they started it during the Finn Balor and all that. So I just left.
Yeah. Yeah, that mob mentality will get you every time. Okay. But why don't you hang on during the break, Craig? We'll get back to Craig.
Okay.
And the Wrestling Night in America will continue on PW Torch Livecast. After this, time out, so don't go anywhere.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
Back with more of Wrestling Night in America here on PW Torch Livecast. Torch columnist Pat McNeil, joined by Torch columnist Greg Parks. The number is 515-605-9345. Still got a full evening to get through here, but now we're going to return it to our caller Craig from Toledo. Craig, Greg, this is when I need the sad trombone. I need to remind me to put sad trombone in the on the soundboard here. Craig, you still there?
Yeah. Are you going to give me the Price is Right loser game show sound?
No, I think that's exclusive, trademarked by Travis Bryant. So no, not really.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
I just got two stupid questions. They have nothing to do with what happened this week, but I just, you know, you said three is a magic number, you know, so I had two extra questions. Of all the attitudes and gimmicks in the WWE right now, or you could even go outside of the WWE and in the NXT and whatever, but who would you switch a gimmick with? Like, somebody has a gimmick that you think another guy should have that gimmick or attitude.
That's a good
Anybody
question.
Anybody else off your head?
No, not off the top of my head. Greg, is this... You got anything on this? This requires some thought, I think.
Yeah, I can't see anybody jumping out at me. I would like to see... Dolph Ziggler is a guy who really needs something to sink his teeth into.
He was gone
for a while, came back on Tuesday night, and was the same old whiner, Dolph Ziggler. So if we can find a gimmick for him... And maybe Elias Samson's the right gimmick for him. Maybe he should be the drifter. Maybe he should be the sad guy dragging his guitar around, because that's kind of how his attitude's been lately. Oh, woe is me. And that's kind of, the vibe I get from the drifter. So maybe Dolph Ziggler should be a drifter-like character.
Well, I mean, my obvious one was, of course, Enzo Amore and the Brooklyn Brawler. But I've got to put a little more thought into this, I think. let's see here. Okay. Sheamus and Zayn, no, they're good. They're good. Jeez. I mean, I...
Well, Pat, let me help you out. Is there anybody whose gimmick and attitude you're really disappointed with right now?
Disappointed?
Yeah, with their gimmick or attitude. A lot of people have been ripping on Roman Reigns and about his just,
well,
you know,
Roman
he needs to be...
I don't know that Roman Reigns' problem is his gimmick. I mean, the problem with Roman Reigns is they're not booking him as a heel, and he's a natural heel. I mean, it's the same problem that WCW used to have with Lex Luger. Are you thinking of somebody that I could switch Roman Reigns' gimmick with? I don't know what... I mean, I don't know... I think part of it is, Greg, I don't know what Roman Reigns' gimmick is supposed to be. I mean, it's his yard or something.
Is the big dog not enough?
The big dog and it's his yard. Okay. Yeah, it's not... That doesn't do a lot for me, frankly. Let's see. I gotta give it some thought. Maybe we can.
How about switching Mike Kanellis and Maria's gimmick, sending that over to Rusev and Lana? Now, come on,
that would be pretty cool. You know what? How about switching Roman Reigns' gimmick with Baron Corbin's gimmick? Perfect.
I like that. That's good.
Yes. Yeah. Baron Corbin can be the big dog.
Yeah, that is perfect. Yeah, you guys both had great answers right off. Right off the top of your head, man. That's cool.
Well, thank you very much.
That's why we get the big box.
That's right. Absolutely. Okay, so
number three.
He's still talking, Greg. Okay,
number three.
Go ahead.
It's ridiculous. Each of you is the Candy Reaper. And of all the candy carried in the check lane, you're the Candy Reaper, and of all the candy carried in the check lanes, which would you kill from humanity for all time? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you, Craig. Craig's going to hang up and listen. Okay, so what candy? I guess if we had permission, would we abolish? I guess that's the question. I don't know how wrestling related that is.
More out of that than I did. I'll tell you that.
Let's just pretend that's the question then.
Okay, that's fine. Look, I hate peanuts of any kind, like nuts of any kind.
Really?
So I guess if I was to get rid of a candy, it'd be Payday, or you know, because that's the basic crux of that candy.
It's peanuts and caramel. Yeah.
I feel like it's not an annoyance to me. I can just avoid it when I go through the checkout line. So it's not. I'm saying to get rid of Payday, but it's like it's not. It's not in my face all the time that I feel like I don't know, need to get rid of it.
Yeah, that's a good point. The thing with candy is that I routinely ignore Jolly Ranchers. I can live without Jolly Ranchers.
Ugh. Sticks to your teeth. It's so inviting.
Exactly.
And then when you put it in there and you say, this tastes good. And then you remember what happens when you.
Now the Jolly Rancher gummies, not bad. I think you might have to try those. All right, 515-605-9345. Let's see what we have here. Oh, we have an email. It's an email addressed to another show that didn't read it, but I'll go with it. This is Cody from Baton Rouge, who says, I've always been a fan of Taryn Terrell when she was in WWE. Back then, she was my favorite woman on the roster. I hadn't seen her in TNA Global Force before now, but I certainly got an impression from her tonight, and I don't think it was a good one. She looked like she did something else for a living other than pro wrestling, if you know what I mean. Let's see. It seemed like she went from a responsible, mature authority figure in WWE to a ditzy, flaky, and, being completely honest here, promiscuous floozy. After tonight, are you optimistic about what GWF is trying to do with her? Okay, Greg, are you optimistic about Taryn Terrell's character in TNA? Global Force, whatever they're calling it?
Well, here's the thing. Before she left TNA, she was in the Dollhouse, which was a pretty big deal. Now, I know management's turned over since then. She was in a very prominent position at the time.
Multiple times.
She returned Thursday night, and it looks like they're putting her back into another very prominent position on the Knockouts roster. And to be honest with you, the Knockouts roster is quite thin. So she will have the ability, and with her improvements the last time, and granted she's been off for a while, but she had improved quite a bit by the time she got to TNA, and that was in great thanks to working a lot with Gail Kim. So right. I think she will, you know, I don't really know what her character is yet. We've seen her back for 1 week, and we saw a lot of her. I'll say that. But I don't really know what character per se she's going to play, but given how she returned and who she was involved with, it does seem like she's going to play a big role going forward.
Ooh, now I've got another one. Taryn Terrell and Laurel Van Ness. There you go. Money right there.
Yeah, okay.
That's, there you go. That's a good swap. Okay. There we are. It is 515-605-9345. Let's see. So I was going to talk about this before we had callers. So Asuka's out, but she'll be back probably late this fall from the sound of it. And we've got somebody we all know who's apparently training over with Brian Kendrick in California. At WrestleMania 34 in New Orleans, do we get Ronda Rousey versus Asuka? Greg?
That would really be interesting.
Yes, it would.
I hadn't put those two together at this point. Now,
I was thinking Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte for a while, but I'm like, you know.
Well, if the four horsemen of the MMA, including Ronda Rousey, want to get involved in feud with the four horsewomen of WWE, then Asuka doesn't really have a place necessarily if they want to build that up to WrestleMania. Now, they could have the four horsewomen feud over, say, a 3-4 month period, and the fall into the winter, and then once that's done and they have mutual respect for each other, which I'm sure will be the end game there, then you could do Ronda Rousey versus Asuka. You could have the two warring factions, and then Asuka's off doing her own thing, kicking butt, and you know then Rousey versus Asuka. The other thing is with Rousey, you know, the last time she was at WrestleMania, she hinted at something with Stephanie McMahon. And you know that when WWE likes to bring in their big celebrities, they like to have them interact with the McMahon. So they've already set the stage for maybe some kind of mixed tag match, maybe some sort of exhibition with Ronda Rousey and Stephanie McMahon. Assuming, now remember, Stephanie McMahon comes back to Raw at some point. I think that's all but assured that she'll be back as a character. Yeah. So does WWE want to do something with Rousey and McMahon to get... you know, to give Rousey that McMahon rub. Those are the two, I think, biggest obstacles standing in my way of saying, yeah, Rousey, Asuka for sure, you know, 100% WrestleMania.
Well, I mean, I think we'll have established probably by then that Asuka is the top woman on the roster. But, I mean, the other possibility is if Ronda Rousey is just a one-off for WrestleMania, you could actually do the four horsewomen versus four horsewomen match.
Mm-hmm.
Well, an eight-woman tag, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yep, so much to go for.
We should make a caveat here that there's no guarantee Asuka in WWE is booked like Asuka in NXT. There was nobody more protected as far as wins and losses in NXT than Asuka. You know, with the way things go with the transition from NXT to WWE, I'm half expecting Asuka's first loss to come on an episode of Main Event against Emma. So, you know, the confidence in me isn't there to say, yeah, come WrestleMania, Asuka's still going to be this hot character on this hot streak. We just don't know if she's going to be booked that way on the main roster.
Okay, 515-605-9345. We have more callers coming up in just a moment, but first we are going to take this time out for a word from our sponsor.
Oh, and now for a word from someone. I forget, I think they sell paint.
Rich Fan, formerly of the Primetime Friday Laughcast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes, places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. all are welcome. No secret handshakes here because Saturday nights on the live cast are officially all right for diving.
All right, Wrestling Night in America continues on PW Torch Livecast. The phone number is 515-605-9345. I am Pat McNeil. He is Greg Parks. We are going to go back to the telephones. We do expect at some point to hear from our man Troy Cummings checking in from Wrestling Under the Stars. I did get a note from Troy, sent a DM that says, so far that there was a big pop tonight, Greg, but the pop was for the announcement that Ryback would not be there.
Oh, man. Ryback's independent career has not gotten off to the greatest foot since leaving WWE.
No, but I think he has a future in podcasting. So he's got that going for him, which is nice. Let's go to the 862 area code. 862, please state your name and town. You're on Wrestling Night in America. Hold on. Yeah, geez. You're on Wrestling Night in America. Hello, Kylan from Newark.
Hello, Pat and Greg. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Very well. Very well, Pat.
Okay. What's on your mind this evening, sir?
Okay. My first question for you is, with John Cena presumably not wrestling Roman Reigns right away within the fall season, who will John Cena be working with until he goes to film his next project?
Greg, maybe it's me. I got the impression that they are probably moving towards Cena and Reigns anyway, or possibly Cena and Reigns versus Ambrose and Rollins.
Well, yeah, Cena Miz is too obvious after Monday night, and I don't think you can go back to that again after they just basically had that same feud on SmackDown, unless WWE has come up with some great inventive idea for angles to make the storyline feel different. So, you know, it was Cena now on Raw certainly gives him a wide range of newer wrestlers to face. And, yeah, I don't think Reigns is out of the question going forward. That may end up being the long-term direction, but they may do something short-term as well. Mm-hmm. So much is up in the air right now because, you know, you think Lesnar versus Reigns next year at WrestleMania, and then, well, you say Cena Reigns is a possibility too if they don't do it too quickly here. And then, you know, you've got Lesnar Strowman coming up, I believe, at No Mercy, but you've also got the idea that could be a WrestleMania-type match as well. We talked about last week after SummerSlam, Pat, with some of the callers.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of balls up in the air for WWE as far as the big matches for WrestleMania next year, and some of them could be taking place sooner rather than later. You know, they've got the NFL football season coming up, Monday Night Football, that they're going to have to guard against on Monday night. So they're going to want to put their best foot forward, and maybe Cena Reigns is going to happen sooner rather than later because of that.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay, what's next, Kylan?
Okay, question number two. Will WWE have Alexa Bliss win the Raw Women's Championship back from Sasha Banks tomorrow to allow them to have a long-term program reminiscent of the Usos and the New Day until Bayley comes back from her injury? Or will Sasha Banks continue to hold the title all the way until Bayley is back?
That's a good question. I don't think that Alexa wins the title tomorrow night in on Raw. Although, I'm thinking about it, Greg, and I, you know, I have no idea who would be in the women's title match on No Mercy if it's not Sasha and Alexa Bliss. So maybe there's some sort of a no contest or something.
The great thing about this feud is there are so many directions that can be branched off of Alexa Bliss versus Sasha. Alexa, this past Monday night, mentioned the fact that Sasha has never won a title defense. She's a four-time champion, but times that she's tried to defend it, her first defense, she's lost it. So was that a sign of things to come this Monday night? Do they continue going that direction? Do they give Alexa the title back and maybe have a rematch with Sasha Banks at No Mercy? Remember, Alexa and Nia Jax had some kind of partnership going on for a while where Nia was, Alexa had used the carrot of the title shot to kind of keep Nia at bay a little bit. So I think there's something with Alexa as champion and Nia Jax as challenger that WWE could eventually do, but you've also got Sasha Banks as champion and the intrigue that would abound when Bayley comes back and how that would strain their relationship. So not only do you have the good story and the good matches based on what we saw at SummerSlam with Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks wrestling each other, but when you get away from those two separately, they each have their own ready-made feud for being champion. So that's why I can't really decide tomorrow night who's going to walk out as champion. And again, that's a good thing. That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, I just feel like if you're, if you go right back to Alexa and then you have Sasha go for the title again at the next pay-per-view, it's pretty much Groundhog Day at that point.
We've seen WWE hasn't.
Yeah.
They've stopped them before.
No, it really hasn't. All right, and finally, Kylan, your third question is.
With Big Cass being injured and Baron Corbin seemingly falling out of favor with WWE management, who is the next big in physical stature superstar in line for Vince McMahon and company to push?
I don't, that's a good question because I don't know that we have any 7-footers waiting to come up right now. I mean, the next really big guy I think who's going to get pushed on the main roster is probably Lars Sullivan. If you've seen him on NXT. Yeah.
He's off to a good start in NXT as one of the big monsters. And he's a guy who, given his character and given what he's shown so far in NXT, he could kind of get the Braun Strowman treatment. He could get called up before he's ready, although I think you could probably make the argument that at this point he's more advanced than Strowman was when Strowman was called up to the main roster. But you could kind of hide him in tag matches. You can hide him in a group until you're ready to really unveil him. So, I think if we see something similar to how Braun Strowman came up with Sullivan, I think that could be successful.
Okay, and the other, they already have one guy, the big guy they haven't exhausted the possibilities of, and that would be the Drifter, Elias Sampson. He's still big, and he's big and he's tall, and they haven't washed him out yet.
Yeah, and another guy to keep in mind who's a little further down than Lars Sullivan, Cesar Bonanni. He's a guy
made
just a handful of appearances on NXT, but he's a guy that reports are that NXT is high on as far as his physique, his look. He's only listed as 6'6", but WWE can certainly tout him as being 6'10" or something thereabouts. He's another guy
they're
to keep
like
an eye
that,
on. Not Strowman size necessarily, but on the bigger side.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Kylan. Good talking to you.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Greg.
All right. Kylan drops off, and that opens up a line for you, kids. 515-605-9345. Let's see. I've heard, okay, apparently up at Wrestling Under the Stars, the main event is about to go on with Rey Mysterio and Cody Rhodes. And after that, we will hear from Troy Cummings checking in with us from Wappingers Falls, post-game show of the post-game report on the NXT show. And, of course, if you actually survived the WWE live events tonight in Monroe, Louisiana, or in Tupelo, Mississippi, you can call in 515-605-9345. So, Greg, we had a huge 20-person gauntlet match on GFW Impact this Thursday, and your new Global Force Heavyweight Champion of the World is Eli Drake.
Yay. Unbelievable. I liked how they set it up with him getting number one and going into Jim Cornette to complain about it, and Cornette giving him number two instead, and Drake's like, well, that's the same thing. We both start the match at the same time.
Bingo.
But Cornette could say, hey, I gave you a different number, and that's what you wanted. Look, I'm probably higher on Eli Drake as far as his talking ability. His in-ring is just kind of there. I don't think it's spectacular, but he's good enough to get by. But I'm high on him as a talker, and even this to me is out of left field to me. You know, you look at some of the names you had in the gauntlet match, and to go with Eli Drake as champion is certainly a shock, and, you know, it gets people talking, and I think that's one of the things that we've seen with GFW so far, and that was the MO of TNA when Jeff Jarrett was in charge, is they did stuff to get people talking, whether it was here putting the title on Eli Drake, bringing in Jim Cornette to sort of replace Bruce Pritchard as the figurehead slash podcaster on TNA television or GFW mm-hmm. television, bringing in Taryn Terrell, bringing in Johnny Impact now, doing this skirmish with Bobby Lashley and his MMA training guys who are, you know, doing this mm-hmm. angle on GFW TV. We're seeing this attempt to do a kind of grassroots advertising almost by getting people shocked and getting that shock value out there on social media to get people to tune in, it appears.
Yeah, I mean, shock value is one thing. But I think if you objectively look at, I don't want to give any spoilers, but I think if you objectively look at what the top three or four matches are going to be for Bound for Glory and compare it to last year or any other previous year, you're kind of going, yeah, things are, you know, I mean, they're running a tighter ship, but, you know, you're not going to see a lot of the big name talent.
Right. And I think that's could be a difference in philosophy from previous regimes about how many of their eggs to put in the pay-per-view basket. We see so few pay-per-views now from GFW. Bound for Glory is, I think, one of maybe two that they do. I think Slammiversary is the other one. So if they decide, hey, let's focus on TV, let's focus on getting the ratings up, we'll do the pay-per-view because we have to and we're contractually obligated to, but we're not going to give away bigger matches than we can show on television to attract the audience. That just may be a philosophical thing, and certainly there's an argument that when you're charging $40 or $50 for a pay-per-view, you kind of want to put your best foot forward. But realistically, the people who are buying those pay-per-views are GFW diehards anyway, no matter what the lineup is, probably. So, you know, maybe you get the eyes and you get the fans to the television product first. You increase the ratings and increase the viewership, and then you can start putting the bigger matches on pay-per-view when you've got them hooked on TV. That's just speculation on my part, but that could be something that's going.
Yep. No, I think you're onto something there. Speaking of guys who were in that gauntlet match who didn't get the title, Eddie Edwards is your Pro Wrestling NOAH GHC champion, by the way. This makes Eddie the only person that I know of who has held the Impact, ROH, and GHC titles at the same, you know, not at the same time, but at all. So, go on.
Well, I was just going to say, when he and Davey Richards left ROH, it was kind of assumed Richards would be the bigger star coming out of it, but Edwards has made a nice career for himself post-ROH.
Yes, I... Yeah, he has, and I think what's up for Davey Richards next is he's going back to Evolve. So that should be interesting. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
All right. 515-605-9345. We will be checking in on the NEW show after their main event concludes here. But we'll be back with more of Wrestling Night in America right here on PW Torch Livecast. So don't touch that dial.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
Wrestling Night in America returns here on PW Torch Livecast, the number 515-605-9345. I expect to be hearing about the NEW show shortly. This is a Pro Wrestling Torch production here, on PW Torch Livecast, and we are employed by the PW Torch newsletter and website, and you yourself can become a VIP member. All you have to do is go to pwtorch.com/govip and sign up today. $10 a month, $99 a year, pwtorch.com/govip. You get a whole bunch of additional podcasts that you will not get anywhere else. You get the weekly Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter that you do not get anywhere else. It's an incredible value. We are very pleased to have the subscribers that we do have, and we want to thank you for your support. It is pwtorch.com/govip. I'm Pat McNeil. He's Greg Parks. This is Wrestling Night in America, and it's getting a little bit busy around here. 515-605-9345. That's how you reach us. So we talked about Eli Drake, and it looks like, I mean, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but it sure looks like we're going to end up with a feud between Eli Drake and Johnny Mundo, or Johnny Impact, whatever you want to call him. So last night was Triple Mania in Mexico in AAA Wrestling. Yes, Johnny Mundo kept the AAA Mega Super Colossal title, or whatever they call it, in a ladder match. And afterwards, he started a fight with Vampiro. And Vampiro chokeslammed the champion, even though Vampiro is, I think, older than I am. I think there's potential here because you have Drake against, you know, fighting the guy who is the top champion in Mexico, and when Eddie Edwards comes back, you can have Drake against the top champion of Pro Wrestling Noah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how GFW plays this, because we know that they've made no secret of their connections to AAA, connections to Noah, and other wrestling companies around the world, and that's a big attraction for GFW. Is, hey, you know, you watch GFW, you get to see these guys from every top company around the world. So, you know, do they make the feud based around, hey, Eli Drake is the GFW global champion, Johnny Impact, as he's going by on GFW, is the AAA champion, Eddie Edwards is the champion in Noah. I mean, do they make that part of the storyline, or is it just Johnny wanting to go after the global title in GFW? It's going to be interesting. I haven't seen any spoilers for Impact going forward, so you know, I don't know how that's going to unfold, but certainly the stars are aligning to where if that's a story GFW wanted to tell with all the titles being involved, they could.
Then, if you haven't seen any spoilers, I probably shouldn't tell you that King Mo's going to wrestle at Bound for Glory. Okay, then.
That can't be real, can it?
That's the word on the street. I'm not going to go back and read those again, but yeah, that's come up in conversation.
He has been in the video packages, the Lashley training video packages, so I guess it's not completely out of nowhere.
No, it's not, and I'm pretty sure he's not the only UFC guy, ex-UFC guy who's going to show up at Bound for Glory, but we'll save that for another time. Let's see what we have here. Okay, question from Twitter. Oh, this will be good. Okay, as soon as I get my computer to work properly, it'll be good. The question is, which character from Game of Thrones would win a – which non-dragon character from Game of Thrones wins in a battle royal? I think the Mountain would win. There is a guy named the Mountain. I've read the books. I haven't watched the show. But, I didn't want to spoil –
You're still one ahead of me because I've not read the books nor watched the show. I think I'm the only person in the United States who has not watched the show. So I unfortunately cannot answer that one.
Okay. I mean, let's see. Well, I'm assuming that all characters from Game of Thrones are included, and I don't have to keep track of who's dead and who's alive right now, because that would make it a lot harder.
True.
Just trust me on that. Okay, 515-605-9345. Talking about SmackDown. Now we got Shinsuke Nakamura on SmackDown getting revenge on both of the Bollywood boys, and we had another controversial finish in a match between AJ Styles and Kevin Owens. So my question is, Greg, the next SmackDown pay-per-view is Hell in a Cell. Do you go with Jinder Mahal trying to defend the title against Nakamura inside Hell in a Cell, or do you just let things go to the point that AJ Styles and Kevin Owens can only be settled in Hell in a Cell?
I wouldn't rule out them doing both. I don't know how many Hell in a Cell matches WWE is planning on. I don't know if they want to do one male, one female Hell in a Cell match. I don't know if they want to do two males. Right now, to me, if you were to ask me which match seems better suited for Hell in a Cell, I would say Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles.
Yeah,
although
I would say that,
with Styles retaining the U.S. title, I don't even know if Styles versus Owens makes it to Hell in a Cell as a story. Because really, Owens doesn't really have a leg to stand on after Tuesday night. I mean, how many times are you going to give this guy an opportunity and let him use the referees as an excuse? So I could also see Styles pivoting and moving on from here and then ramping up the Kevin Owens-Shane McMahon feud even further. I don't know where the end game is for that, but that could be a direction they go to. Nakamura versus Mahal doesn't feel right now like a Hell in a Cell match. Now, granted, they have well over a month, I believe, to get that feud to that point, to where a Hell in a Cell seems necessary. And you could say by taking out the Singh brothers on Tuesday, that was kind of the first step, because we know that their interference has been a key to Jinder Mahal retaining basically every title match he's had. So if they wanted to do something to keep the Singh brothers out, yeah, Hell in a Cell makes sense. Except for every other time they've, when they did the Punjabi prison and it was supposed to keep them out and it didn't. So they're going to find a way inside of it. Don't sell me on the BS that the Hell in a Cell is going to keep them out or anything like that.
Oh, no, I don't buy that for a second. Yeah.
Right. So really, if I had to choose Styles Owens, but again, I don't know that Styles Owens as a feud even makes it that far.
Well, that's a possibility, too. They have okay, do you think it's too soon to go with Bobby Roode and Jinder Mahal?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I think Nakamura still needs to get his another shot. I think we saw Tuesday night that if Nakamura and Mahal was over at SummerSlam, I don't think we would have seen Nakamura beat the Singh brothers. I think that was a clear indication that feud is going to continue. So unless they give Nakamura a title shot on SmackDown and pivot right to Bobby Roode versus Mahal, I would assume that Nakamura and Mahal goes to another pay-per-view.
Okay. That makes sense. 515-605-9345 is how you reach us. So Ring of Honor. Everybody thought that we were going to get at Death Before Dishonor, Cody Rhodes defending the or Cody or Commander Cody, whatever you want to call him, defending the ROH title against Dalton Castle. But it turns out it will be Rhodes defending the title against the never openweight champion, Minoru Suzuki. Do you have, I mean, what do you think of that other than advising Cody Rhodes not to get hit in the face?
Yeah, it's certainly a surprise when that announcement was made recently. I think, you know, Cody has had a real, especially lately, just matches with a variety of opponents that I think is exactly what he was looking for when he left WWE and entered the independent scene. So I think it's really cool that he's getting to experience all these matches. And, you know, Suzuki is one that kind of comes out of left field. And I think if you're a staunch ROH fan, you're saying, well, Dalton Castle was right there. He's an ROH guy. Why is a New Japan guy getting this opportunity? You know, it's the relationship between ROH and New Japan seems quite complicated sometimes. And you know, I guess if you're ROH and you have the opportunity to use some stars from New Japan, which is a company that is absolutely on the upswing worldwide, not just in Japan, I think you use them and you do that. Because if New Japan gets a foothold in America, I think it's somewhat beneficial to ROH in some ways, but I think it's also detrimental because ROH is sort of kind of holding on to that position as, I guess, number three in the United States, depending on how you look at things. And if New Japan is able to make successful inroads, then they could challenge ROH for that spot. So
yeah.
ROH certainly in the long term may be doing themselves no favors by spotlighting New Japan stars on their big shows. But in the short term, I think it's helpful because New Japan is a hot commodity amongst a certain fan base, and using their wrestlers in high-profile matches will get people to take notice of ROH that otherwise might not have.
Okay. Is there a possibility that this is going to extend the Cody Rhodes Dalton Castle feud out until Dalton gets his title shot at Final Battle?
Yeah, I think that's an argument you could make. I think that, you know, you want to have something, if that's the case, you want to have something still that Castle can kind of sink his teeth into until Final Battle. The last thing you want to do is say, okay, we're going to hold off Castle and hold off his shot till Final Battle, but if over those ensuing months you don't have something meaningful for him to do and his heat dies off, then all of a sudden that match that looked really hot in August all of a sudden isn't so hot. So, you know, you hope that Hunter Johnston has some quality feuds in mind for Dalton Castle to deal with as he sort of bides his time till Final Battle.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't think so, except ROH the past few years has had this history where sometimes they pull out a pay-per-view main event that makes no sense given the storylines that they've been building up. And it's like, what? How'd this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, 515-605-9345. Tell you what, when we come back, hopefully we will get briefed as to what went down in Wappinger Falls, and we will talk more about the various crazy stuff going on here in professional wrestling. 515-605-9345. This is the Wrestling Latin America on PWTorchLivecast.com.
I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw on my first show of the week, SmackDown with my second show of the week, and then the flagship edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events. And then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
Welcome back to Wrestling Night in America here on PWTorch.com. I am Torch columnist Pat McNeil. He is Torch columnist Greg Parks. Say, kids, don't forget you can listen to Wade Keller and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast over on Podcast One. Check that out on the Podcast One Radio Network. The show drops four times a week. And Greg was on it this past week, and I was on it the week before. And you might hear some other people who are worthwhile. You never know. go check it out, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast over on Podcast One. So we've come through most of the show here. We're going to we've got a lot to talk about in terms of what's coming up next week. Next week there is a big Revolution Pro show in London that we will probably that's a Sunday night show that we'll probably get around to talking to, and we'll probably talk more about the events of this week. Coming up Wednesday, Greg, on NXT. Yes, it's going to happen. It's Roderick Strong. It's Bobby Roode. It is not for the NXT title.
And based on Roode's debut on SmackDown this week, I think we can all see where that match is headed.
Yeah, I will give Roode credit though that he did the interview. He did the interview on NXT, which said he's coming back. He's going to get the NXT title. He's going to take it to SmackDown with him. And I got to say, I appreciate them doing that.
Oh, definitely. Just a nice touch that that they didn't overlook. That was helpful.
Yes, I don't know. In the upcoming weeks, we're going to hear more about the group of Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish. And it sounds, and they actually use the words Future Shock to describe them on NXT this week. Future Shock being the name of Cole and O'Reilly's short-lived tag team over in Ring of Honor. Do you think that's going to stick?
Without knowing what kind of ability WWE has to use that phrasing, I don't know. They've kept Adam Cole, they've kept Bobby Fish, they've kept Kyle O'Reilly, so they've kept the names of the guys. They haven't decided that needed to be changed. So I guess there's always a chance that if Future Shock is available, trademark wise or copyright wise, what have you, that they could end up using it.
Yeah, I can't imagine Ring of Honor trademarked much of anything for anybody back then. So that is a strong possibility there. And I'm looking forward to it. It also would appear, based on the NXT tapings, which I don't want to go into briefly, that the WWE UK crew have sort of found a semi-permanent home on NXT.
Well, yeah. I part of me thinks, hey, they were flown in for SummerSlam weekend. The tapings for the last batch of NXT tapings were done right after SummerSlam weekend this week, so maybe they thought, hey, as long as they're here, we'll put them on TV. Although I think there was, again, without giving too much away, there was a storyline involved with them too. So
right.
I guess that would be the hint that something's going to continue with them. Not all of them, just a few of them. But it is nice to see, because they are talented guys. They are just kind of sitting there with a WWE contract and the WWE UK television show never got off the ground on the WWE network. So it's nice that, I guess, that WWE and NXT are finding something for them to do other than just taking independent bookings and being advertised as, you know, WWE talent.
Yeah, in coming weeks, I don't know exactly when this will play out, but yeah, I mean, you obviously got Roode versus Strong this week. I believe coming in future weeks as part of the last NXT taping, Pete Dunne does defend the UK title against Wolfgang, as was teased on NXT this week. And yes, it will be Red Dragon, or as I used to call him, Red Dragon, of Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, against Mustache Mountain of Tyler Bate and Trent Seven. That might be good.
That's one to look forward to for sure.
And obviously, we're also going to get, I'm guessing, an NXT Women's Title Tournament, unless they decide to give that honor to the winner of the Mae Young Classic.
And that's something that people have been talking about on Twitter over the last several days is, you know, do you have a tournament where the winner of the Mae Young Classic faces the winner of an NXT tournament or something like that? So it may be hard, because you'd have to almost have to go back and re-record commentary for these Mae Young Classic matches if you're doing something like having the winner become NXT champion or having them go forward in some capacity challenging for the NXT Women's title. That's not something you would want to leave out of those broadcasts.
No.
But we'll see. I don't know that WWE or NXT knows yet what direction they want to head, but It should be interesting. And, of course, the Mae Young Classic, 9 a.m. tomorrow is when the first round drops on the WWE Network.
Yeah, actually, the first four episodes are going to drop. So, yeah, that's 4 hours of Mae Young Classic. I guess you're expected to watch them over Labor Day weekend along with the next 4 hours or so. I know this is an odd way to do this, but the finals of the Mae Young Classic are supposed to take place September 12th, and they're taking place during the time when normally 205 Live would air.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's interesting timing to me. I don't think it's probably the best decision you could make. I like the idea of doing it in a real arena-type setting. Of course, you run the risk of having the fans burned out and you know, having 30 to 40% leave that attended SmackDown that usually leave when 205 Live comes on, having the same thing happen, having the crowd sit on their hands because they don't know who the two finalists are because they haven't been on WWE TV. So that's a major risk, and that's not getting the ending the tournament on the best foot and getting that person's recognition off on the best foot. So I'm not really sure. I get wanting to do it in a big arena setting, but I don't think the crowd reactions are necessarily going to be what WWE wants it to be.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. 515-605-9345. Oh, by the way, speaking of 205 Live, you know, we know one match for No Mercy coming up in a few weeks. I think we can strongly guess at a second match. The legendary King of the Cruiserweights, Adrian Neville, against Enzo Amore. What are your thoughts on Enzo Amore being part of 205 Live? And do you think that in any way affects their decision to preempt 205 Live for the Mae Young Classic?
Who knows? It could. You know, we've talked for, I think, probably since the breakup of Cass and Enzo about the future of Enzo. And I think we've kind of agreed that he has value, but where is that value best utilized?
Apparently it's best utilized on 205 Live.
Well, yeah, and that's an option that we've talked about. We talked about three or four options at times. And that's one option. I think he can inject some personality into that brand with Austin Aries leaving and, you know, with some of the other guys not really getting a chance to stand out as far as personality goes, getting the opportunity to do that. I think Enzo does add that to 205 Live. He hopefully adds I don't know if he'll be enough to convince a portion of the crowds to stick around for 205 Live that had been leaving after SmackDown was done. Hopefully his mic work will get the crowd more engaged than they usually are for 205 Live. So I think that's the hope from WWE's end on things.
Yeah, I mean, well, it couldn't hurt. It couldn't hurt. Now, what are your... So... Enzo Amore doubles down, sends a series of tweets talking about how glad he is he injured Big Cass, and the Big Cass quit with his bad knee rather than get up and finish the match. How upset do you think this actually is going to upset the other members of the locker room, or will they figure out that it's just part of the gimmick?
It's just Enzo being Enzo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I could write that off as being in character of something he would do. So from that aspect, he might be okay. But you got to remember, he's a babyface. And I don't know if it's the smartest babyface move to call out a heel for not being able to continue a match and that sort of thing. So, you know, even for a babyface character, it's probably not how you want to react to that situation on Twitter. So that, I guess, could give him some heat. I don't know. He's almost a heat magnet at this point. So probably anything he does or says is going to get him heat with some faction of the locker room, whether it's management, whether it's the wrestlers in the locker room or what have you. So, I think every time he opens Twitter, he runs the risk of upsetting someone.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. 515-605-9345. But here's the part that doesn't make sense to me, and maybe you can enlighten me as to how this is supposed to work. So you have this guy who nobody likes. Well, actually, let's stop on that, because we do have an update. Let us go now to Lavender Falls, New York, where our man Troy Cummings is Mr. T Daddy Smooth is standing by. Troy, as our Torch correspondent, what happened tonight at Wrestling Under the Stars 6?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm just in the parking lot now, driving. Well, trying to leave the parking lot. So I have it at eight matches. Main event, which I'm guessing what everybody paid for, was Cody Rhodes versus Rey Mysterio for the Northeast Wrestling title. Cody did bring the Ring of Honor, the official Ring of Honor, with him, and Cody did win with the Crossroads. It was a really good show. I have pegged about 3,000 people.
That's good.
The show I really went for was The Now, which is a team of Big Delicious and a guy by the name Pale versus the Kingdom of TK O'Ryan and Benny Marsalia. That was a double DQ, and they're going to do a rematch. And Bethany, Connecticut, which is like about a five-minute drive from my house, so I'll be going to that. Warbeard Hansen, Breed, Caleb Conley. I'm just going to go through the matches, people that are more well-known.
Right.
Randy Rhodes wrestled, I saw it for the first time, beating Karen Q. So there are other matches there, but Jerry Lawler beat Robbie E. And, a match with a lot of stalling in it. It was a lot of fun. There was a lot of meet and greets, so you can pretty much, talk to anybody you wanted to, provided you did actually purchase something as well. So that's one of the nice things about Northeast Wrestling is you can pretty much meet anybody you want. Once again, it's probably nicer if you purchase something on top of that instead of just
The Impact guys were there. Flip Gordon, or supposed to be Flip Gordon, Hector Garza Jr., and Laredo Kid.
Oh yeah, so Flip Gordon won that. The matches were pretty predictable in the sense of guys who are because Flip Gordon, he's been with NEW since I'm a huge NEW fan. I go to every show I can.
Right.
I've been with NEW since at least 2015. I think when he first started wrestling, he was with them. So I didn't know he was that new to wrestling. They had a really good match, triple threat. No bad guys in that match. Everybody was a big fan favorite. But Flip won. He does this little a springboard type stunner, but he adds a little twist to it. I've not seen him in Ring of Honor, so I don't actually know the name of the move.
Yeah, but
you probably
know
that better than I do.
But he did well. Okay, now we have a question from our chat room from Iconic One. He says, I must have misheard Troy. I thought he said I just bought an 8-ball. I'm guessing you misheard Troy.
I've not bought any 8-balls ever. Yeah, I don't have
that
kind of money, but, I don't have that kind of money. But we did see a guy named Wrecking Ball Vessel before the Man Scout, Jake Manning, who's a Man Scout's
I've seen him before.
But he's very well-liked from everybody. And Wrecking Ball is he actually had a WWE tryout earlier this year, around January, I think. So that was kind of a big thing. Wrecking Ball is a really big guy. I've seen him out in public, and that's one of the nice things about NEW is all the wrestlers are very local. So I'm not just seeing him in the wrestling. I see him out in public for no reason, and it's kind of cool. So he's a really huge guy. So I'm guessing he's going to be doing, some bigger things in the future, just when he gets a little more traction.
Okay, and so about 2,000 people, and they were also had Ricky Steamboat was a guest referee, and Mick Foley, Chris Jericho, and Bob Orton Jr. were supposed to be there.
Yep, and this is why I'm glad to have somebody like you to lead me through the conversation. So Ricky Steamboat actually was the guest referee. So Cody played heel during the match. So one of the things about the show is it's a little bit further away than where I normally go. So guys that are normally baby faces or heels when it's, convenient for the show. So Cody was a heel because Rey Mysterio was a baby face because he's just so famous.
Right.
So Cody won and then, tried to start talking a little trash to Ricky Steamboat, tried to punch him and Ricky did the chops, Rey did the 619 and, off she went. Chris Jericho was signing copies of his autobiography, which I think comes out in 2 days. I'm going to buy it on Kindle, so I was a little bit cheap there because, Jericho definitely did you know, you had to buy the book to actually get any type of pictures with them, which is fine. But, you know, when I was, like, standing, like, maybe 10 feet away from him. He just walked in. You know, he looks like such a rock star out there. And he goes right up to Ricky Steamboat, who was also, like, 10 feet away from me, you know, because, you know, I guess they're great friends. And it was just really cool, like, being that close to him because, like, I've been in plenty of WWE shows, but, like, you know, it was almost like I could touch if I wanted to if I wasn't, like, you know, if I, you know, wasn't, like, that weird. That was good. Bob Orton came out. Yeah. I'm still a little boy at heart. So it was really cool because Chris Gorich was, like, one of my heroes as a kid. Well, late teen, I guess. And Bob Orton, he came out just to do, like, a little hello to the fans. He's a very tall guy, actually, in person.
Yeah.
I have about 6'3" or so. And he was sitting down, but he's very tall. And what was the other guy you mentioned?
Let's see, Bob Orton, Mick Foley?
Yes, so Mick Foley was there. I met him at the first ever NEW show. Well, I've talked to him a couple of times because I went to his autograph signing of his first book in Times Square, which was like, the line was like around the block that day in Times Square. So I met him in 2010 at an NEW show, like in Derby, Connecticut. So I did not actually do his meet and greet, but then he did come out during the show, and he gave someone... Oh, yeah, so during the Wrecking Ball match afterwards, Wrecking Ball's manager, this guy by the name of Jared, I'm not going to pronounce his last name because it's very difficult to pronounce, but he gave him, you know, the mandible claw at the end of the match. So he actually did get some screen time for the show.
Okay, that's good. All right, Greg, any questions for Troy about tonight's big show?
Yeah, Troy, I'm curious as to how Rey Mysterio looked in the main event. There's rumors that he may be headed to GFW. He's got a lot of tread on his tires. You know, how did he look? Did he still have a spring in his step to you?
Yeah, I mean, Rey Mysterio, he's one of those guys who's been around so long that he knows what he needs to do to get through a match. You know, at no point did it feel like, oh, this guy, he's just doing the punch and kick deal. So he came out, you know, he didn't do any, like, you know, dragon suplex off the top rope, but at the same time, you know, he did some high flying, a couple of springboard moves, and, you know, like I said, he's just been around so long, and he's just been wrestling for, like, longer than I probably, well, I don't say longer than I've been watching, but he's been wrestling for so long that it's one of those situations where, unless he's, like, really hurt, he's going to be able to get through a match until he decides he does not want to wrestle, and I was completely fine with what he did.
Okay, now, this is a busy weekend for Northeast Wrestling. They had, they had another show, they had a show Friday night elsewhere, and they had a show yesterday where Rey Mysterio wrestled a free match at the Connecticut Taco Festival. did anybody seem worn out after the three-day loop?
Well, you know, everybody's a big taco fan. I'm not sure if that was a determining factor. So the first show was in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, which was a Friday. And one thing that Northeast Wrestling has to work around is that, you know, whether it's a guy that they brought in from Ring of Honor or a guy like Tiki Orion, Vinny Marsala, that really, like, you know, cut their teeth in Northeast Wrestling, they have to deal with Ring of Honor a lot because when Ring of Honor went to the show, you know, they're just a bigger company.
Yeah.
So I think the show for today was originally supposed to be yesterday. Ring of Honor had tapings in Atlanta, so...
Yes, they did.
The show was usually on Saturday, but that's why I was on Sunday. So I did not go to the Pittsfield show because I knew it was coming Sunday. I do want to let you know, though, I could have gone to SummerSlam. I could have gone to NXT TakeOver. I could have gone to Raw and SmackDown. But I really wanted to go to the show a lot more because, you know, one thing that, you know, whether it, I'm not really sure about other independent companies, but if you go to Northeast Wrestling Show, I really think you're going to get some of the best wrestling you're ever going to see. So, you know, if you really need to see those explosions, fireworks, and... you know, chant along with, you know, the wrestlers. Maybe WWE is for you, but then this is the show I really wanted to go to out of all the shows in August. I also skipped the taco show because it was actually really expensive. I think it was like, I think you had unlimited tacos, so I felt like it was like $100 to get in.
Yeah, and they were only doing three matches there, so yeah, I understand.
Yeah, so it was more of a taco fest than the wrestling show.
Right.
The wrestling was kind of like a dessert show,
Okay, well, Troy, thank you for providing a blueprint for future people who call in with reports to Wrestling Night in America as to how we go about doing this. It's great having you on, and hopefully we'll do this again because there's a, you know, Northeast Wrestling does run some big shows up there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the best orator, but, you know, I'm a huge fan of the company, so I was more than happy to embarrass myself so I can, you know, try to say some positive things. And they do have a show in Bethany, Connecticut, about 300 people. It's a really small building, but it's so much fun. And, you know, I'll be there, so if you're interested, I'll be happy to talk about it then.
All right, thank you very much, our man, Troy Cummings. How can people follow you on social media, Troy?
I mean, I'm not selling anything of value, so it's not really going to help me at all. But my Twitter handle is at TDaddySmooth. I'm really funny. I'm just not famous, so nobody actually sees anything I write. So.
Yeah, I know how that is. Don't worry about it.
That
all right.
My burden.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. No problem, guys.
Thank you, Troy. All right, TDaddySmooth, Troy Cummings, back when people were actually on the Torch VIP message board, he was there. Remember that, Greg?
Yes. One of the elite posters.
That's right. All right. I want to thank Troy for doing this, and we are going to have our final segment when we come back following this timeout.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
Wrestling Night in America here on PW Torch Livecast. I am Pat McNeil. He is Greg Parks. We do this every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, except after a pay-per-view when we will be on Sunday night pay-per-view when we will be on immediately following the pay-per-view. So there we go. Let's see. Okay, Iconic One asks us, when did Steamboat jump the shark? Was it when he brought his son to the ring? Actually, I'm going to have a variation on that. It's when he brought his wife to the ring, I think. That was pretty much the end of... And really, when we say the end of Steamboat, Steamboat's career went on for five, six more years after that. Well, five more years after that. But,
I was
going
to say,
you know,
when he brought the Komodo Dragon to the ring in WWF or whatever that thing was supposed to be.
Yeah, that wasn't good either. He was always a babyface. It's just, you know... It's just he did that, and Ric Flair said, go do the dishes with the missus. Me and the girls are going downtown. So I think that helped, too. It was 29 years ago. Good memories, people.
Oh, boy.
All right, 515-605-9345. Okay, let's see. I'm trying to remember what we have coming up on Impact this week, but I guess more fallout from Eli Drake winning the title. Let's see, and obviously it looks like the big tag team feud for the next several weeks within Impact is going to be LAX against the Crist Brothers, Ohio versus Everything.
Yeah, it's set up for that going forward, and LAX has been one of the most pushed acts on Impact, let alone tag team. They get their special behind-the-scenes segment where you see them in their clubhouse plotting their next moves and things of that nature. So, you know, Conan being with them gives them that instant credibility, and Conan's done a nice job helming the ship there for LAX since they came back to GFW.
Mm-hmm. Now, one guy who apparently is not going to be, well, I don't know if this is really a spoiler, is not going to be with GFW for a while going forward is Loki. Loki was apparently legit upset that he thought he was going to get a title match with Alberto Del Rio on Destination X. He did not, because Del Rio had been let go. And he did not like, apparently wasn't happy with whatever they came up with to make it up to him.
Well, here's the thing with Loki. He's a bit of a drifter, I guess, not like Elias Samson, but he's a, you know, he doesn't plant his roots for very long. And in fact, when he was in WWE as Caval, I'm actually shocked he lasted as long as he did there. I did not expect him to last long at all. So, but this is pretty close to a new record here in GFW for as long as he lasted.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, here we go. All right. So, okay. Well, here is what's going to happen next week on, this coming Thursday on Impact Wrestling. It will be Eli Drake and Chris Adonis, Chris Masters against Eddie Edwards and Johnny Impact in a tag team match. How about that?
Oh, there you go. Plus, we also have the fallout from Laurel Van Ness and her makeover this past Thursday when she saved Grado from having to be deported. So that'll be a direction and a storyline to keep an eye on as well.
All right, and let's see. We also have El Texano showing up. Just bring everybody from Lucha Underground. There's room for all of them.
Basically.
All right.
Although it didn't work for Lucha Underground, so I don't know.
No, I guess it did not. Ethan Carter III, our man EC3, defends the Impact Grand Championship against El Hijo de Fantasma. Well, outstanding.
That's something to look forward to as well.
Okay, so all of that is good. There's a lot coming up in Impact. As a matter of fact, now that I think about it, I don't think Matt Sydal ever got his title shot from winning the main event of Destination X. So you got that going for you, which is nice.
Yeah, he's got that in his back pocket.
Yep. Let's see. There's also the Ring of Honor tapings ended last night with what I think was an 8-man tag, Search and Destroy against the Bullet Club. That might not suck, by the way.
Yeah, that sounds like something going out of your way to watch.
Okay, so let's just do plugs. As you heard mentioned early in the show, yes, Wayback Playback episode 155 is up. So we have completed the set of shows that Jim Valley and I did covering SummerSlam 1991 with the match made in heaven and the match made in hell. And that was, I can tell you for a fact, Greg, that SummerSlam 91 was 3 hours shorter than SummerSlam 2017.
It was probably like a breath of fresh air.
And starting next month, starting next 1 week from tonight, actually, our episodes will go up covering NWA Starrcade 1988, which was I don't know if it's an all time great show, but it is a era of all time great chaos behind the scenes in the NWA World Championship Wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What can we expect to see from you in the Torch newsletter this week?
This week I'll have a column that looks back at a column I wrote after Backlash and after Jinder Mahal won the WWE title. And I kind of plotted things out toward SummerSlam and toward the fall for the rest of the summer about where the title directions could be headed on Raw and SmackDown. So I'm going to take a look back at that column that I wrote and see where I was right, if I was, and where I made some missteps, and see if we can look ahead maybe into the winter to see where we're going to be with the titles, the Universal title, the WWE title, as we turn the calendar to 2018.
All right. Well, as always, we want to thank all of you for tuning in and for tuning in to the other shows on PW Torch Livecast. Tomorrow night, the MMA show, MMA for Pro Wrestling Fans, will be on. And you can check that out there. And you can go to pwtorchlivecast.com, see a schedule of all of our shows. As a matter of fact, this past Tuesday on the Best of the Livecast, it was Greg Parks again. He is amazing.
Wow. I'm honored to be involved in anything Best of, I suppose.
Yes, it is. All right. Well, thank you, all of you, for listening. For myself, for Greg, for Troy Cummings. See you next time. Until then, keep your feet on the ground. And keep shooting for the stars. Good night, everybody. Oh, hold on a moment. I said good night, everybody, and I forgot that we're supposed to be telling you how you can subscribe and become a VIP member here at pwtorch.com. So let me go ahead and take care of that right now. Thank you for being a listener.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues, and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s, but you also get over 15 VIP-exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and Sure Dog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Cutter Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the SE Editor format of the Weight Cutter Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Shad Radican, the WWE Future Pass Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the live cast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.